I believe life is one big spiritual creative experience, and everything that we do, whether it's start a business, write a book, fall in love, or I don't know, pull a bunch of tarot cards, has a little spiritual lesson wrapped up inside of it. I'm obsessed with trying to understand the mysteries of the world from the arcane to the mundane and unboxing as many spiritual lessons as I can. And on the 12th house, we're going to explore all of that. So let's get into it together. Hello and welcome to the 12th house plus. I'm Michelle. Hi, how are you? I'm so happy that you're back. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a 12th House Plus subscriber. It means the world, truly. Love ya. Thank you so much. Can you believe that it's the end of the year? Gross, gag. Getting time as a construct. Anyway, oh, you know what I've been thinking a lot about? We're going to get into today's topic, which is 5 ways to make your stuff, emails, Substack, courses, content, anything really more binge-worthy and unputdownable, but before we do, can we just do like light housekeeping moment, just touch base, just, you know, friend to friend chat. I've been thinking so much about these two numbers in Matrix of Destiny, 13 and 16. So the Matrix of Destiny, I just taught a class on it, and it's actually something we're talking about in North Node in January and February and March. But it's this numerology system that every person, based on your birthday, you get your own little chart, and you have these archetypes in it, and there are numbers, and the numbers are from 1 to 22, and there's a bunch of numbers in there. It's like 30 numbers in there. And depending on the position of the number, and the number, obviously, there's a different energy or an archetype associated. So you kind of get like an instruction manual for your energy. And there are these two numbers that have been coming up so much in all the people's charts that I've been reading lately, 13 and 16. And 13 is death in the tarot, but it's transformation in Matrix of Destiny. And 16 is the tower, or like Phoenix energy in Matrix of Destiny. And I've been reading tarot for how long? So long. I'm so old. I've been reading it for so long. And I honestly had never really like stopped and thought about the real distinction and difference between those two cards. I've always just been like, you know, cycles and destruction and death. But like, gosh, those energies are so different. I've been thinking about the sort of like flavor or tenor of them, and 13 being transformation and sort of like death, the fertile soil that comes from when we bury something or when something has died or decayed, and how that releases nutrients back into the soil for something to be born from it, versus the tower, which is total destruction, right? And then out of the rubble, something new and completely different emerges. Like there are no bricks left from after the tower has been destroyed, right? We have to build something completely separate. And how different those energies are to create or transform yourself from the sort of skeleton of who you used to be, the death of who you used to be, sort of watering the future of who you are, versus sort of edge sketching your life and totally starting from scratch. And I can't stop thinking about it. So I needed to say it to you. And like for myself, thinking about, okay, is this sort of like a slow evolution transformation situation where I'm going to take sort of everything that I've learned and repackage it into something new kind of death? Or is this a tower moment where I've got to like just totally wipe the slate clean and start from scratch? I think it's a good question. I don't think there's an all or nothing. There's like a, you know, rote answer necessarily, but I've been thinking about that a lot. And what else has been going on? Just oh so much. I'm really obsessed with this glass pen. I've been writing with pen and paper. Who hasn't? Welcome to being a human. But I've been like really consciously slowing down. I already have this like very particular, unfortunately, I'm quite particular about like the writing implements that I use and the notebooks that I use and the paper that I use. It's actually like not that cool or sweet, because I just feel like I cannot write with a regular ballpoint pen. I'm pretty specific, but I started writing with a glass pen in an attempt to be more eco-friendly and also because it's cool. And I'm loving it. I use this India ink. I don't know if I've talked about this yet on the podcast because I've been using it for a while, but it's just really sparking joy for me, and it's very affordable and it's eco-friendly and I'm just loving it. So sharing that is the big news. But let's get into today's lesson. If that's all that we have to update each other with, I want to hear from you, obviously, but I'm really excited about today's content and concept because, you know, if you are someone who maybe has a squiggly brain or is excitable, perhaps you can relate to going in down an absolute rabbit hole with something that just fascinated you. I find myself doing this all the time. I kind of don't know anything in between modulating my intake of content versus binging my intake of content. And when I find something I really like, I don't think it's weird, or like some people might be like, oh, that's so hyperfixation of you. I don't really think it's that. I think it's just like, wow, I love this. I want more of this. It's like reading a really good book. I don't want to put it down. I find I'm that way with podcasts. I'm that way definitely with books, with TV shows, with music, like albums. I just want to play on repeat over and over and over again because I'm just soaking them up and they are bingeable to me. I want to stay in the world, in the universe of these entities that I find fascinating. Recently, it's been Substack. I found a bunch of Substacks lately that I just totally went to town with. You know, I put my son to bed and while I'm sort of rocking him to sleep, he sleeps in my arms for a little bit. And that's when I get a little bit of scroll time in. And I'm reading so many incredible authors on Substack. Oh my God, I'm having so much fun. But it's been making me think a lot about just bingeable content in general, or binge-worthy content, content that you don't want to put down, because so much content immediately turns me off. And I'm sure that you can relate. Or so much content feels like homework to get through, or like such a drudge to get through. It feels so special and vibrant and unique when you get something that is like, ooh, I want 100 more bites of this. Like, I want 17 more slices of this cake. It is just hitting all the right spots for me. And by cake, I mean course or podcast or whatever, or book. So I've been thinking about that for myself and what it feels like when I make content that is bingeable, or when I hear from people, oh my God, I listened to the entire 12th house in like all weekend. And I'm like, that's incredible. You must have listened to it on like 3x speed. Sorry for my chipmunk voice, but thank you so much for listening. And what about other content that doesn't feel as bingeable? And I do want to caveat with this, not everything has to be like, you know, straight into the veins. I want to take a shower in this. Like, I want it to overwhelm me and overcome me. Not everything is meant to be experienced that way. Remember when Netflix first started releasing shows in their full sort of like from start to finish, every single episode, it all came out in a weekend and people were up in arms around like, this is not the way television is supposed to be, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, yeah, fair, bet. That's probably true about some things. There are some articles that maybe I really need to sit with, and I shouldn't just like move on to the next one, or even maybe episodes of shows that I'm listening to, or movies, or whatever. I'm sure that like a refractory period is also beneficial, but not everything that we make has to be one or the other, right? And there are five key sort of factors to me that come up with content that just like makes you want to sink your teeth into it and stay in it and feel cozy and safe and feel good. And that doesn't necessarily mean that someone has to spend the next 8 hours reading your Substack. But my goal as a creator is to know these rules and know that I can make that content if I so choose. And if I don't, if I want to make something a little bit more uncomfortable that makes people stop and think, then I can do that too. You know the rules to break the rules. So let's get into it.
Okay, that was a preview of the 12th House Plus content. Just a little sneaky snack. If you like that, if you want more, if you want to hear the whole story, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify Podcasts at the very top of the page where you would subscribe in general for the podcast. It's $5.99 a month, and we'd love to have you.